Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and thanks for sticking with us through this special hour of Radio Boston. We're exploring gratitude today, how to practice it, moments that have inspired it, and what it means to some of our favorite guests over the past year. We're going to end with Billy Porter. He's the Tony and Grammy Award-winning star of the hit Broadway musical Kinky Boots. The musical tells the story of Charlie Prince, a struggling shoe factory owner, and Porter plays Lola, the fabulous cabaret star who comes to Charlie's rescue.
You don't want to see me anymore. You can't listen to me. Laugh out loud. You don't want to see me dance. You can't even take the chance that it might reflect on you.
This archetype did not exist in this way on Broadway until me. And until this show.
And critics have said it couldn't have existed without Porter. In many ways, he is Lola. Black, gay, a supremely talented artist who grew up always hearing that he was an anomaly, that something about him was wrong.
You know, from the earliest time I could remember, you can't be that, you can't do that, you're too black, you're too gay, you're too gospel, you're too that, you can't do, no, you'll never make it. You have to fix yourself. You have to fix it. And I understood that I was not broken.
It sounds so heartless, so cruel to say that to a child, but Billy Porter did hear those words a lot growing up. However, he also knew he was not broken. We spoke with Porter when he was in Boston earlier this year to direct the Huntington Theater Company's production of The Colored Museum, George C. Wolfe's classic, cutting satire of the African-American diaspora. And this is why we thought this conversation is a perfect way to end the show today, because Porter epitomizes the lasting power of giving and of gratitude. As I said, Porter was directing The Colored Museum earlier this year. It happens to be the same play that changed Billy Porter's life when it debuted in 1986.
I was a little black gay boy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was looking at colleges, and my drama teacher handed me the play and said, "This is a very important play for you, and you might find something in it." And so as I was reading it, it just cracked open this sense of camaraderie, this sense of somebody actually has put into words what I've been feeling.
Which was?
Which was, where do I fit?
Because you grew up in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and you were open about your sexuality?
Yeah, I mean, as open as you could be in 1985.
Right.
You know, during the AIDS crisis, you know, in the Pentecostal church, yeah, I was open as I could. But, you know, like, I knew instinctively, even if I didn't have the language for it, that this thing that was different wasn't something that could really be changed. You know, I went through the process of trying to change it early on.
You went through that process, something you did to yourself or by virtue of
both
the church?
Both. I mean, it was just what you did. You know, I was 5 years old,
yeah,
in a house full of women. And, you know, you're born with this. So I was a little sissy and they were nervous about that. So they sent me to a psychologist to get that out of me at five. You know, so there's no bad blood about it. It's like, it's what you did. It's the only thing that we knew. It was very early that I realized that there was something different about me and it was wrong.
Well,
and you got to fix it.
You were told.
That was the messaging. By the time I reached 14, it was like, well, I've tried to do that change all these years and that ain't working because I still like boys. So forget it. you know, I'm just going to try to figure out how to be who I am in the best way possible.
Which is why the Colored Museum spoke so powerfully to Porter when he first read it. Here was a play that, according to one critic, celebrates, satirizes, and subverts the African-American legacy. Playwright George C. Wolfe created 11 exhibits, themes, really, in black culture. For example, in an exhibit called Get On Board, a flight attendant welcomes the audience aboard a celebrity slave ship. Passengers are asked to obey the fasten shackles sign and told not to rebel. And in Cooking with Aunt Ethel, a character called Mammy Aunt Ethel sings a recipe on how to bake yourself a batch of Negroes. No surprise, then, that theater critic Frank Rich wrote with admiration that, quote, George C. Wolfe says the unthinkable, says it with uncompromising wit, and leaves the audience, as well as sacred targets, in ruins. Billy Porter agrees, particularly when it comes to a sketch called The Gospel According to Miss Raj. She's a black drag queen who, in her own words, is trying to escape a whole race of people being trashed and debased.
It was the first time that I had ever seen even the acknowledgement of a black gay character that wasn't the butt of the joke, that wasn't reviled, you know, who actually was in a position of power.
I mean, because I was really taken by a quote that I read from another interview that you did, and you said, when who you are naturally is not only considered a sin, but you're reviled for being that human being, and you don't have any control over it, there are a lot of issues that come into play. And then you said, and it takes a lot of presence, determination, courage, and space to figure out how to land in that truth.
Mm-hmm. So I said that?
Yeah, you did.
That sounds real smart.
So how did you land in your truth?
I'm still landing. You know, like I said, I really tried to pray the gay away. I really tried to not be this. And it was destroying me. I know I was saved by my connection to my creativity in that space. You know, I was given that gift.
As a young adult, Billy Porter took that gift to New York. He got some work in Miss Saigon, Grease, and Five Guys Named Mo, amongst others. And Porter says from the moment he first stepped foot on Broadway, he wanted to meet George C. Wolfe.
And he took over the Public Theater, and I just, you know, spent my entire career trying to get in his space so that I could just soak up everything. I'm like, I just want to be in the room. So I can learn everything from this brilliant mind. There were other pieces that then emerged from his mind.
Yeah.
Jelly's Last Jam, for instance. You know, tap in Jelly's Last Jam was the metaphor for jazz music. And so imagine I'm around the corner doing Five Guys Named Mo.
Yep.
Which is what I call the Millennium Coon Show. Tapping for the white folks like you're supposed to do.
The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back on the rack. Jack, choo choo, choo choo, shaboogie, woo woo, woo woo, shaboogie, choo choo, choo choo, shaboogie, take me right back to the track. Jack.
And then I go around the corner, and all of a sudden I see this different thing.
Door slam. Door slam.
You step on someone's feet. And you don't eat.
And it was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I have to say, and this is what the Colored Museum is about. I have to say, I was sitting in the orchestra. And in front of me was a couple. And at intermission, I heard the woman say, oh, I sort of like it. I just wish they would just dance.
Oh, dear.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Colored Museum addresses. You know? That uncomfortable conversation that nobody actually really wants to have.
After those early Broadway appearances, Porter struggled. He went 13 years without significant work. But he did get in the room with George C. Wolfe. The playwright went on to become one of Billy Porter's most important mentors. Well, I want to talk for a second about what Wolf says about you, right? Because he...
I don't know what he says about me.
Well, I mean, he basically says that what you've done with your career is that he's crafted his own career. And as a result, he, meaning you, grew as an artist and a person. What do you think about that?
You know, it's so... I always say it's easy to be who you are when what you are is what's popular. And I fought long and hard, you know, to craft a version of a life that was based inside of a truth. And I took all of the hits that come along with that for years and years. There was nothing for me to do. I'm talking no place to live, bankruptcy, no job, nothing. And I, in that moment and in that time, really fought to excavate a different kind of creativity for myself that didn't require anybody's validation on the outside.
Billy, do you mind if I just say that seeing how you're reacting to just me reading these words from Wolf right now, it just, it's reminding me of the power of performance and art to save, as you said, to transform, to change. And it makes me wonder then, what does it mean to you now then to be directing?
Well, that's why I get so full, because, you know, he really is a mentor. So to then, all these years later, sort of pass the torch to me is really humbling and really, I'm speechless when it comes to that, because it really is so important, and I don't take it for granted at all, mm-hmm. at all.
Well, what about producing the Colored Museum in 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it for today?
It's for everybody.
Okay.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Mm.
While we have come very far, we are still very much in the same place. The difference is the racism and the discrimination is now politically incorrect to say out loud.
Well, because it's interesting, because we were looking at a 1986 review of the Colored Museum in the New York Times, which basically said that Mr. Wolf is the kind of satirist almost unheard of in today's timid theater. This is 86,
mm-hmm.
who takes no prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think theater is still like that, or is Wolf still sort of one of the few take no prisoners?
He's one of the few. He's one of the few, and now thankfully, as a result of him, his influence on me, I think I am too. I hope I am as well. I think that the lesson that I've learned is you have to change the tape in your own head that says your stories are not valid. That's changing. It really is changing very, very much in television, which I think is really explosive and challenging and exciting to see. You know, exciting to see. It's like, when was the last time you saw, you know, three black women starring in network primetime television shows and killing every single second of it, and all the white people are watching?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's talking about the television shows Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, and Empire. Three shows that Porter says are in the tradition of the Colored Museum, satirizing and celebrating the African-American legacy.
You know, that's the energy that I want to keep putting out into the world. You know, not talking about what is wrong with it, but just being a part of the solution.
Billy Porter. He's a Tony and Grammy winner, and we talked with him last spring when he was in town directing George C. Wolfe's The Colored Museum at the Huntington Theater Company. Porter will be back on Broadway next year in Shuffle Along, a new production that'll be directed by George C. Wolfe. Well, that's it for today. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm deeply grateful that you've spent this hour, and possibly many others, with us. I'm also grateful for my wise friends and my beautiful family. And I have to say, some of my deepest gratitude goes to our incredible staff here. Producers Emmajean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek, our technical director Tim Skog, and our executive producer Hitesh Hathi. They are all brilliant, humane, hardworking people who fill our days in this studio with countless moments of grace. Thanks, guys. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.